Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, for a number of weeks now, perhaps even a couple of months already, many of the buildings and the businesses, the stores, and our homes have been decorated with lights for our Christmas celebrations. The lights that are used to decorate our homes and buildings in our city give an aura of expectation, of excitement, of exuberance, especially during the rather long and dark and dreary nights of this winter season. January 6th, the Festival of the Epiphany, marks the official end of the church year season of Christmas and its celebrations. And perhaps already you may have seen some of the Christmas decorations starting to come down in stores and in places around the city. And if they haven't already done so, probably by January 6th or very shortly thereafter, almost all of them will be coming down. Our reading for today challenges us not to put away the light of Christ and of Christmas in our lives, but to continue to let it shine through us. Now, of course, when God is calling us to arise and shine, He's not talking about us plugging in electrical lights in our homes or inside or outside our homes or other buildings, but rather He's urging us to let the light of the gospel, the good news of forgiveness and salvation through Jesus, shine in our lives, shine through us to others around us. As Isaiah writes, we live in a world that, despite all of the decorations, despite however many bright lights we can plug in and use to shine light in the darkness of these long nights, our world is actually in a far deeper darkness, a darkness that no physical, visible light can dispel. And that's the darkness of sin. By nature, mankind doesn't know anything but this darkness of sin. Sin covers all of life. It affects every aspect of our lives since our first ancestors, Adam and Eve, fell into sin. As verse 2 of our reading says, look, darkness covers the earth, and deep darkness covers the peoples. As we read in the Bible, even God's own chosen people of Israel repeatedly became engulfed and overwhelmed in the darkness of sin. If we read just before these verses of our reading in Isaiah chapter 60, just in the previous chapter, 59, Isaiah writes, your guilt has separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden God's face from you. Therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not reach us. We hope for light, but look, there is only darkness. We hope for bright light, but we walk around in the darkest gloom. We grope along a wall like blind men. We grope like people with no eyes. We stumble at noon as if it were twilight. Among the healthy, we are like dead men. And now, if we didn't know about the background, the situation in which Isaiah was writing to, we would almost think that he was describing our present-day situation, wouldn't we? And in fact, really, he is, even though he was writing more than 2,700 years before our present day, the human condition is just the same today as it was those many hundreds of years before. How people love to disobey and to despise those whom God has placed in authority over us. It makes little difference whether it's our parents, if we are children, whether it's our employer or government leaders, how people love to disobey and rebel against that authority that God has placed in our lives. That's one manifestation of the darkness of sin that lives within us. Another, how people love to maim and murder and kill. Even in the most supposedly civilized nations on earth, millions of the smallest and most defenseless humans among us are killed every year. A silent holocaust. And of course, the killings that are not so silent also number in the hundreds of thousands every year. The God-given gift of sex that that God gives to husband and wife in marriage is abused by so many people for casual pleasure. Many people are too busy trying to accumulate wealth and possessions for themselves that they simply don't have time to care about the people around them who need their physical or spiritual help and assistance. Everyone, including even our friends and relatives, seem to be expendable to us if it means that our future can be made a little bit brighter for our own personal enjoyment. People are too busy for God, but if things don't go their way, then they are quick to blame God for letting this happen to me. The real problem in all of this is that people are trying to shape their own destiny, to make their own happiness, but in the end, it never really pans out. The darkness of sin is appalling. As homes are broken, dreams are shattered, relationships are fractured, and guilt is multiplied and weighs us down. Even as the gospel is proclaimed so often and so clearly in churches throughout our land, so many people still prefer to cling to sin. And so often, secretly, we do as well. As Jesus said in John chapter 3, "This is the basis for the judgment. The light has come into the world, yet people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil." Yes, we live in a dark world. We feel the lure of that sin-filled world around us to join in its ways and to experience its sinful pleasures. But the appeal of darkness is actually appalling in spite of its attractive veneer. The stolen moments of pleasure that we think nobody else knows about, the temporary trespassing of God's commandments that we try to justify and rationalize, the ignoring of other people's needs only throws us back into the misery of shame and guilt. When the flashing neon lights of the world around us that tempt us and lure us into sinful actions and activities, when those lights ultimately fail, then there is darkness. And that darkness is terrifying. Thank God that it does not need to remain appalling or frightening for us, because the light of Jesus, the Savior, shines on us and dispels the darkness from our hearts and lives. The devil may paint a picture of doom and gloom for us because our sin dishonors God and disgraces us and deserves nothing but God's wrath and punishment, but God brings a new light into our lives. God's chosen people of Israel in the Old Testament, they had chosen to live in such darkness that God, in his love, disciplined them through the Babylonian Empire, which totally destroyed their homeland of Judah and their capital city of Jerusalem and God's temple in Jerusalem. But God promised comfort through Isaiah. God promised restoration and salvation. What a beautiful new day would dawn when God would bring them back as he had promised from that land of exile, from their captivity, back to that promised land that he had given to them and their ancestors. And yet, as glorious as that restoration, that return from exile would be, and in fact, when God fulfilled that promise, as glorious as that was for God's people of Israel, yet God had something even better in mind for them. Even better than the pillar of light representing his presence and his glory with them that he used to guide and protect them when he brought them out of slavery in Egypt to the promised land. Even better than that, God would bless them with the glory of his presence in the person of his own son. That, ultimately, is what Isaiah is referring to in verse 1 of our reading when he says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is dawning upon you." He's referring to that light of the glory of the Savior who finally came as God had promised. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. That's what we celebrate as we observe the festival of the Epiphany of our Lord. Certainly there is more light in Christian churches than just the lights of our Christmas decorations. There's more light in our world than just these decorative lights that we put on our buildings at this time of year. We hear the light of the good news that to us a child is born, to us a son is given. This son, Jesus, born in Bethlehem, is just as Simeon said in the temple when he saw that baby Jesus brought there by his parents. This son is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And then as Jesus grew up and began his public ministry, we see him proclaim about himself in John chapter 8, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Light drives away the darkness. Think about maybe in your basement or a storage closet or shed. When you flip on the light, maybe you see some little bugs scurrying and scattering away as that light shines on them in fear of being crushed and killed. Thieves will flee and run away, afraid of being caught and fined or put into prison when a light shines upon them as they are attempting to commit their act of theft. Evil is conquered when it's exposed to the light of the love of God in the person of Jesus, our Savior. However, sin and its evil consequences, the darkness that it brings, doesn't just melt away and disperse. No, Jesus had to take that sin upon himself and to pay for it. On the cross, he absorbed all of the darkness, all of the suffering of hell and death in his own body. God put all of our sins on him. And then mightily and magnificently, the light of Easter, of the resurrection of Jesus, dispelled the gloom of that dark Friday. And the light of his love now shines on each one of us. What a privilege we have on this festival day to join with the wise men in adoring the baby Jesus as our Savior and our King. What joy we have to know that the Holy Spirit has called us out of darkness, out of the darkness of sin, and into his marvelous light, the light of his love and salvation. He did this by making his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Just as the rising sun of the morning, if the sky is not filled with clouds, just as that so quickly drives away and scatters the darkness and gloom of night, so Jesus, in his forgiving love, quickly and effectively drives out all the darkness of sin and guilt and condemnation and shame from our hearts. His love shines on us, dispelling that darkness that once filled us and controlled us and covered us. However, as we see in our reading, the light of Jesus not only shines on us, but it also shines through us. God wants his love to reach other people through us. And so we see verse 1 of our reading begin with those two imperatives, those two command words: arise, shine. As Christians, we're not simply just to take in and absorb the light of God's love, but God also wants us to be lights reflecting his love, illuminating the darkness of the lives of people around us who still have not yet been touched by that light of the knowledge of the forgiveness and salvation of Jesus. God's work is not yet done when he has worked faith in us and begun that work of faith in our hearts, but God continues his work through us in our lives. If God only wanted to bring us personally, individually, to the light of his love, then it would really have been best for us for God to take us out of this life as soon as that light of his love had come into our hearts and driven away the darkness. But God calls us to be his lights. He calls us to be his witnesses to other people, to let others see God's redeeming love in Jesus through our words and through our lives. So today, as we commemorate the journey of the wise men from a distant country in the east to the east of Judea, coming from afar, led by that light of the star, to see the newborn Savior King in Bethlehem. We also realize that it was not that star that they followed, but really the child that they found there in Bethlehem that gave them true light, that brought true light into their lives. So the prophet Isaiah was right. The light of Jesus would shine around the world. And that light, the shining of that light, started already there at his birth. Think about as those wise men returned back to their home country, wherever that was, about all of the people that they interacted with on that way back home, and then after they returned home, and the good news, the joy that they shared with all the people that they met about this newborn Savior that they had just witnessed. The wise men's visit to Jesus at Epiphany foreshadows the joy of Pentecost. As we see after Jesus' resurrection from the dead and his ascension into heaven, when the Holy Spirit came in power on Jesus' disciples and enabled them to speak in many different languages that they had never learned or studied before, but in many different languages to all of those people from many different countries who were gathered in Jerusalem on that festival day to tell them in their own native language, the good news of forgiveness and salvation through Jesus. Throughout the book of Acts, then, we see God continuing to work through believers to bring that light of his love to people of many different nationalities in many different places throughout the known world of that time. It's the privilege of every generation of Christians, not only to pass this light of the good news of God's love onto our own children and the next generation within our congregation, but also to be part of the work that enlarges this family of believers through our witness of the gospel. It's because we Christians have the light of the gospel shining through us, because the Holy Spirit blesses our witness, that the Apostle John paints the picture of the ultimate scene of believers in heaven before the throne of God, a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing in front of the throne of the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and praising him forever. The light of the gospel is shining through you and through me. As we support and as we pray for missionaries that our church body has sent around the world and in many parts of our country. But today God is challenging us to do more than just that noble work of supporting and sending missionaries and praying for them. But God's also calling each one of us to be his lights to the world, to let the light of his love shine through us in our lives in a very personal way. Ask the Holy Spirit today to help you recognize and seize the opportunities that he gives to witness to specific people in your lives. Pray for God's guidance and blessing to help you do just that. Let the light of the love of Jesus, your Savior, shine through your life, shine through your words, so that by God's grace, the people around you can also come to faith, can also come into this light of the knowledge of God's love and forgiveness and salvation through Jesus. Jesus, your light, has come, and he wants you to shine with his light. Amen.